We are proud to announce a new sponsor for this podcast, Auggie's Locker Room. Auggie's Locker Room, which is located less than a mile away from Notre Dame Stadium, was named the best Notre Dame's collectible shop in the country. This shop is amazing. If you are a passionate Notre Dame fan and are looking for that special Notre Dame piece to complete your rec room, Auggie's is the place to go. They have a wide selection of Notre Dame Stadium pieces, jerseys, helmets, autographs, and one-of-a-kind Rockne items. They have an exclusive Joe Montana signed items. If Auggie's doesn't have it in store, he will find it for you. Visit AuggiesLockerRoom.com or stop in at 1811 South Bend Avenue and see the vintage helmet display dating back to 1890. AuggiesLockerRoom.com or call 574-277-NDND.
6 o'clock hour, a Budweiser's weekday sports beat from Sports Radio 960 WSBT. We kick off this hour by talking Notre Dame football and Notre Dame baseball with Tyler Horka from Blue and Gold Illustrated. He is their Notre Dame football beat reporter. You can check out his work at blueandgold.com. Well, it's going to be an interesting day tomorrow, because tomorrow we expected to hear from C.J. Carr, the class of 2024, five-star quarterback from Saline, Michigan, the grandson of former Michigan head coach Lloyd Carr. And he is expected to pick the University of Notre Dame. Carr was just at Irish Invasion at Notre Dame over the weekend. This story has moved rapidly, and C.J. Carr might be Fighting Irish in about 25 hours. And we bring in Tyler into this conversation. Tyler, I know you're not a recruiting expert. You follow recruiting on the side as well as being a Notre Dame football beat reporter. Could I get just your reaction to C.J. Carr, the grandson of Lloyd Carr, possibly picking Notre Dame, and what it means possibly for the future of the quarterback position at Notre Dame?
For the last, five months, but at least pretty much since the turn of the year, so maybe it has been 5 months, all we've been talking about is Dante Moore this, Dante Moore that, and look, there's still a chance that Notre Dame goes after Dante Moore, even if they land C.J. Carr tomorrow night, like you were saying. But this is the type of thing that I think Notre Dame fans have been waiting for, in which a top five quarterback, because that's what C.J. Carr is right now, he's ranked as the number five quarterback in the class of 2024 per the On3 consensus ratings, commits to Notre Dame and says, yeah, Notre Dame is the school that I want to go to. He can go pretty much anywhere. I think his options are down to Georgia and LSU and, of course, Michigan. So there are some really good schools on the table for C.J. Carr. If he were to pick Notre Dame, I think it's the moment that people have been waiting for, in which – Marcus Freeman has been recruiting his tail off for Notre Dame for about a year and a half now, ever since he came on staff in January of 2021. But the thought has always been, okay, yeah, he's getting really good defensive players and, you know, some good offensive guys are coming in. But when is Notre Dame going to get that heralded quarterback? This might be that moment. And again, it's not Dante Moore, but that doesn't mean Dante Moore is, you know, out of the fold. This is kind of a point of reckoning in which Notre Dame is asserting itself in the recruiting landscape, telling all of these other schools, hey, you guys want C.J. Carr, but we can land him and we're going to bring him in and he's going to be really good for Notre Dame. And then obviously everybody knows what kind of trickle effect that has in recruiting. Notre Dame is going to keep going after, you know, the four-star quarterbacks, the top five quarterbacks, the five-star quarterbacks even because of this. So short term, it helps in recruiting. Long-term, it could absolutely help Notre Dame on the field. I think if he picks Notre Dame and he comes in here in 2024, by that point, you know, Tyler Buchner might be on the way out. Notre Dame needs a succession plan, so C.J. Carr might be that guy. And I think by that time, I mean, we're talking 2 years down the line. I mentioned Dante Moore. There's some of these other guys that have been connected to Notre Dame in recruiting at the quarterback position of late. I think Notre Dame is going to have options, and this is just kind of the very beginning of the quarterback renaissance, if you will, at Notre Dame.
Well, let me ask you about this Carr-Moore situation from this standpoint. I asked a Twitter question of the day yesterday, and basically, with Carr likely picking Notre Dame, you as a fan, does it change the urgency you have about the Irish getting Dante Moore? 67.3% said the Irish still need Dante Moore. 32.7% say this lessens the need for Dante Moore. You could argue both are good answers. I'm just wondering, Tyler, and you mentioned the succession plan. If all goes well, Tyler Buchner starts the next 2 years and maybe a third. Maybe after 2 years, he's an NFL prospect and he moves on. That kind of works perfectly into the C.J. Carr succession plan. Hey, you still want Dante Moore. He is one heck of a football player. The more great players you can have on one roster, the better. Now, it's hard to manage all of them and keep them happy in the transfer portal world. But do you understand some Irish fans now saying, well, maybe this lessens the need for Dante Moore?
I would side with the majority in that that Notre Dame should still go hard after Dante Moore and get Dante Moore, because at the end of the day, if you've got two guys like that and 2 years down the line, you're having to choose between those two guys, then you're in a really good spot. If you only land one of them and maybe CJ Carr gets hurt or he's not what you thought he was, or you have all of your eggs in the CJ Carr basket and it doesn't work out, well, that basket's not worth so much at that point. So I say bring them both in, let them duel it out. I think Notre Dame has a really competitive practice atmosphere, and the best guy will win. If you have both of those guys going head-to-head, there's not going to be a situation where someone is favored. I don't think Tommy Reese is that kind of coach. Marcus Freeman is definitely not that type of coach. He's going to, you know, put the best guy in there. And I think most – you can say that about most coaches, but – what you can also say about college football at this point is you want to have as many guys at every single position that you can choose from to help your football team win. And at the quarterback position, that's generally only two guys. Look at this year. I know Steve Angeli might factor into this at some point, but right now, if you're Notre Dame, you're saying it's either Tyler Buchner or it's Drew Pine. You've got a situation where you're choosing between two guys. If those two guys are Dante Moore and CJ Carr, I think Notre Dame is in a really good spot in a couple years and probably still contending for college football playoff appearances and maybe taking that next step toward a national title.
I love your comments. I'm just going to add this. At the end of the day, CJ Carr and Dante Moore, today, tomorrow, next week, they have not signed on the dotted line. And until that happens, you keep recruiting. You never know what can happen. Stranger things have happened.
Absolutely.
Tyler Horka, Notre Dame football beat reporter, Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. I'd like to ask you about Clemson for a second. Back on the Fighting Irish schedule this year, they fell off their perch as a college football playoff team last year. Their offense struggled without Trevor Lawrence. They had a pretty good running back we are familiar with from the recruiting wars, Will Shipley, but the quarterback position was a major issue last year. The guy we saw take Trevor Lawrence's place the COVID year at Notre Dame Stadium, who looked very, very good, struggled last year. And I'm just wondering, as you look at this Clemson football team who's coming back to South Bend in November for another primetime matchup, as you look at this Clemson football team, a football team that's had some amazing quarterback play through the years, is the quarterback position a major question mark for Dabo Swinney's team this year?
I would call it a question mark. I don't know if I'm ready to call it a major question mark, and I might be in the minority of that. I think there's a lot of people out there, especially fans who don't root for Clemson, who think that Clemson is in a really bad spot right now. I mean, everybody saw, you mentioned what DJ Uiagalelei, and I think I said that right the first time, so
perfect.
I'm just going to call him DJU from now on upon further references. But DJU, he came in, he did a really fine job at Notre Dame, and that was kind of I don't want to say it was a no-pressure situation, but he was, you know, relieving Trevor Lawrence, and the expectations weren't that high for him. He was a true freshman, I think he was at the time. Last year, obviously, took a major step back. He wasn't good by any means. The Clemson offense suffered because of that. But you have to ask, was that because of the offensive line or the things that he did or didn't have around him? I think Clemson's going to give him another shot. But we were just talking about wanting to have options at the quarterback position, and guess what? Clemson does, because DJU himself is a five-star. Cade Klubnik, the quarterback who's coming in from Texas, my home state, is also a five-star. You've got two five-star guys that you're choosing from right there. That is exactly where every elite program wants to be. Sometimes five-stars don't work out, and we might see that with DJU. And if that happens, maybe Cade Klubnik is the guy that is starting against Notre Dame in November. That's late enough in the season to where I think Clemson will know who their guy is by then, and that guy will be the one starting, barring injury or anything like that. So at the end of the day, they have 2 5-star quarterbacks. I think one of them is going to be really good. If it's the true freshman, okay, he might be going through some growing pains, and maybe they can't win in a hostile environment like Notre Dame Stadium at night in late in the season because of that. But I don't think Clemson's going to be bad by any means just because DJU struggled last year. I don't think it was all his fault. I think Clemson figures it out. They've been an elite program for about a decade now. They're going to be good. And that's one of the games that I'm looking forward to the most. I think everyone keeps talking about USC. We talked about USC on here before. I'm excited for that too, but don't write off this Clemson team. If I know anything about Dabo Swinney, he wants to get right back to that college football playoff because that's kind of where they've belonged of late.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
He's Tyler Horka, Blue and Gold Illustrated, Notre Dame football beat reporter. Expectations for possible All-American Notre Dame defensive lineman Isaiah Foskey this year?
Yeah, I think he's going to be really good. I think he's going to compete for that all-time single-season sack record again. He kind of, he was really surging toward that in the middle of last season and then tailed off at the end of last season. And I don't think he's a guy that's really driven by individual accolades. I don't think that's why he came back. I think he came back to be a part of something really special at Notre Dame, and he is a really special football player, so he can absolutely help in, you know, whatever team accolades Notre Dame's going for. National championship, we hear it all the time. I don't think that goal has changed. Marcus Freeman said that's the goal. That's the goal as soon as this season. Isaiah Foskey wants to be a part of that. I think he's going to be aided by the rest of that defensive line, too. I know two of the starters, Kurt Heinisch and Myron Tagovailoa-Mosa, are gone, but if Riley Mills is the guy that's filling in for MTA at strong side defensive end, he's a menace, man. I think he's almost 6'6", 280 pounds. That is exactly what you want in a big end. Obviously, the guy replacing Foskey when he needs a breather or the packages change or anything like that, Justin Anamalola, the heck of a defensive end. He's going to get to the quarterback. And then you got some guys in the middle who I think are really good in Howard Cross, Jacob Lacey, obviously Jason Anamalola. There's just so many plug-and-play guys along that defensive line. That's going to go to Isaiah Foskey's benefit. And we already know what Isaiah Foskey can do. You know, if he was playing with three scrubs, which he's not, he's still going to get his sacks. And I think he is – if I had to make a bold prediction on June 6th or 7th, whatever it is today – it's not June 8th, is it? I don't even know what day it is. If I had to make a prediction in early June – I think Isaiah Foskey gets the sack record. I think he gets at least 13 sacks.
Notre Dame baseball coach Link Jarrett today announced Austin Temple will start game one of the Super Regional at Tennessee Friday at 6 o'clock. John Michael Bertrand, the ace, goes Saturday at 2 o'clock with his 2.27 ERA. Your reaction to Link going that direction with his rotation?
Yeah, somebody on the message board asked me this as soon as Sunday. I think it was right after they won that Texas Tech game, and John Michael Bertrand pitched 107 pitches, and this is exactly what I told that user was John Michael Bertrand is used to going 7 days, you know, without starting. Every seventh day is when he starts, or every eighth day, technically he gets 7 full days off rest. So that timeline, you just can't really speed it up to the point where he just pitched over 100 pitches on Sunday, and you're asking him to go out there in the biggest game of the year and start 5 days later. I think you give him that extra day so he has 6 full days of rest, recovery, rehab, whatever you need to do to get ready for Saturday. And look, Austin Temple's been really good. Go look at his numbers. He's got a winning record. His ERA is under 4. He's a good strikeout guy with his off-speed stuff. His breaking ball is really good. Throws a slider. It's a good, you know, it's a different look from John Michael Bertrand. So I think it's going to throw the Tennessee batting order off a little bit. And then look, if he does his job and Notre Dame is somehow able to steal that first game, you're throwing John Michael Bertrand, one of the best pitchers in the country, your ace, first team all ACC player, in a potential closeout game on Saturday. That's exactly the situation you want to be in if you're Notre Dame, where you're pitching your best guy with a chance to make it to the College World Series. And if it's the alternative, Notre Dame loses and maybe Temple doesn't pitch his best, well, you have your best pitcher with your back against the wall trying to get to a winner-take-all game three where anything can really happen. So it was the right decision by Link Jarrett to go this way.
Finally, Tyler, Jared Miller looks like he's good to go, has not taken a bat or played in the field since suffering a dislocated shoulder May 14th. Now he pinch ran over the weekend down in the Georgia Southern Regional. What could the impact of Miller be on this Irish team if he plays?
Man, what a pinch run that was, stealing third and then taking home on a wild pitch that ended up being quite a decision to put him in the game. But I am a little weary of putting him in the batting order, obviously putting him at second base where he hasn't played in about a month. It's going to be, you know, 3-4 weeks since he's done those things. But I think this is a situation where he's an older guy on this team. This might be his last shot to, you know, do something like this. And Link Jarrett has a really good relationship with all these guys. When we talked to him today and he was asked specifically about Miller, he said, I want him to play. So I don't think he's really thinking about the batting order stuff or what he might do in the field. I think he just wants to get his guy out there in a moment like this. And what everyone is saying is going to be probably the rowdiest super regional of all the eight. I think the crowd is going to be insane just because Tennessee is what it is this year. And if you do get the Jared Miller who can hit really well and can field very well, then you're bringing in one of your best players, you know, one of your 9 best players back into the lineup and back into the field. So that would be huge. But I will say Jack Penny didn't do bad, the freshman that was filling in for him. Yeah. So if somehow Miller re-aggravates that, or, you know, he goes 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts and it's just not there, then the alternative isn't a bad option for Link Jarrett. So I'm excited to see what Miller has, though. Like I said, this is a grand stage, and you want your best players playing on the big stage.
Tennessee's supposed to win. Everybody believes they're going to win. They're number one in the country. The guy who had the clutch hit against Georgia Tech rounded first and told the center fielder they're number one. So I guess Notre Dame's got absolutely nothing to lose, and they got a chance to shock everybody going down to Knoxville for the Super Regional. I know, Tyler, despite all of the Notre Dame football recruiting, Notre Dame football news, I know you're going to be covering baseball, and folks will be able to check it out at blueandgold.com.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got, you know, a whole story where I go a little deeper on the decision to pitch Austin Temple in that first game, save John Michael Bertrand. That story's already up, so you can see that. Going to have a couple other features leading into that series. I think it's been awesome. The Notre Dame fans have been showing a lot of interest in baseball, and they should, rightfully so. Notre Dame has one of the 3 best winning percentages in the last 3 seasons, and you know they're trying to make it to the College World Series for just the 3rd time in program history. All that stuff's going to be up at blueandgold.com, and then obviously a really big commitment tomorrow night. Stay tuned for that. My coworker Mike Singer is going to be all over that. And Ashton Pollard, kind of our utility player, if you will, she's covering baseball as well. She's on the recruiting side. She's doing everything. And Patrick Engel does a really good job too. So go to blueandgold.com, $1 for 1 year. Nobody covers the Notre Dame beat like we do at blueandgold.com. And if you're a Fighting Irish fan, that's where you need to be.
Well said. Tyler, thanks for doing this. Greatly appreciate the visit. Let's enjoy some good baseball this weekend. We'll talk to you next Wednesday, hopefully about a team going to the College World Series.
Oh, I would love that. And look, if they make it there, my car is the first one on the highway headed to Omaha. It's one of my favorite events. I can't wait. Hopefully they get it done.
We'll need a Twitter feed and have all the people following you tweet out the cheapest gas price between here and Omaha to help you out a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think it's the one that's right by my apartment based on when I just left to go to the store earlier.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, Tyler, good to visit with you as always. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Darren.
Thank you so much. Tyler Horka, Notre Dame football beat reporter, covers Notre Dame baseball for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. We'll talk sports wagering next, 628 at WSBT.